I think that you all know that as of, I think it began in March of last year, Craig Kelly is our official facilities manager. Craig has done work for the church in this capacity for something like 40 years, 45, mowing the lawn for years and years and years and helping his dad around the church. He's now an official employee of the church and serving as the facilities manager. I don't know if you do know how much he has done for us since that time. He has done a number, I'm not going to list them all, but he's done a number of outdoor projects for starters. One was the Reuben Gertie did his Eagle Scout project and made the little circular path up by the sidewalk. And Craig has extended the gravel a little bit. So exchanging goat heads, which we all love, for gravel, and that we're going to continue doing more of that at the work party on Saturday. He, of course, did tremendous work getting our new labyrinth ready. He single-handedly made that pattern on the landscaping fabric. A number of other outdoor issues he helped with. I don't know if you all remember some of the, you can see in the one far away, sort of the bases of the posts for the portal were getting to be quite rotted and in danger of not supporting the roof of the portal very well. Last summer, Craig replaced and put concrete around the base of several of those. He's done a number of indoor projects. I don't know how many of you have taken note of the kitchen floor. It used to be that dark, 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 whole different color. Dark, 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 dark brown. He very labor intensively, pretty recently, stripped the floor and was down on his hands and knees in the corners and on the edges, uncovering that beautiful, much lighter kitchen floor. And of course, he also was instrumental in getting, I don't know if you know, we have a new stove in the kitchen, and he was instrumental in getting that for us. He also has helped with the new technology. New technology. I have a screen here where I can watch football games during the worship service. So he's done a tremendous amount of work for us. As a shameless little plug, I have reached out to a few of you, but want to extend the invitation. We're hoping to, Craig can do a tremendous amount, but he can't do everything. So we're hoping to create a little ad hoc building and grounds committee that would just be available to help with the project. No meetings required, just some hands-on help as needed. And so if any of you are interested in being a part of that call list, let me know, or Craig. And of course, also, there's a work party this Saturday where Craig has a whole list of opportunities for us to work together to make our grounds continue to look beautiful, more and more beautiful. So as Bob has already asked me this morning, Bob, who gets a sneak preview of my slides, usually not until late Saturday night, he said, I can't wait to see what Craig has to do with Abraham and Sarah. Does have something to do with it. In my mind, it has something to do with it. And it's the idea of seeing what's not yet seen. Joyce is familiar in particular with that. And Craig, a connection I didn't even think about. Seeing what is not yet seen. And before I get to Abraham and Sarah, you know, we have the labyrinth in the back, right over there. And there's a path. If you have gone out recently, you'll see there's a path not only leading from the sidewalk to the labyrinth, but there's a path begun from the labyrinth sort of toward Rover Park that Craig has been working on. And that, what that is about is that he and I have a vision for creating a little, it was initially his vision, a little picnic area he was thinking out under. There's a huge tree. Actually, the fence between our property and Rover Park is in the middle of the tree. I don't know if, I think the tree must have grown up around the fence or something, but it's a huge, probably a cottonwood that creates a huge shady area. And he said, let's clear this up some, and we could put a picnic table, or it could make a picnic area. And I said, how about if it becomes a worship outdoor worship space or meditation space, and we might have a couple of benches. And so he's begun to work on that. And I was walking around the grounds outside Wednesday, I think, and just, I can imagine that existing. And so, and I can imagine our church, and I talked with Craig about this, and I think I've talked with others of you about this. I can imagine, I have a vision for our church becoming a place where people can access their own spirituality, whatever that means to them, on our grounds without ever having to come inside if that's not comfortable for them. The labyrinth is one piece of that. Maybe this new outdoor worship or meditation space will be another opportunity for people passing by. I have a vision of, in fact, I have a mailbox, and I've talked with the session about this for a while. I have a mailbox in my office that's been there for probably a year and a half or 2 years. That I'm hoping will eventually be moved outside, and it could be a place where people can drop off prayer requests. They don't have to put, it can just be an anonymous, pray for my grandma, pray for my grandson, pray for, for the war, whatever it is. I think we have an opportunity to be a place in the community for people to acknowledge their spirituality. But they don't have to come in and be here. Ken Holmes used to say, everybody, our neighborhood, our neighbors are part of White Rock Presbyterian Church. Some of us gather on Sunday mornings to worship, but we extend beyond that. So part of my vision is to use these beautiful grounds that we have, a tremendous asset that we have, to invite our neighbors to access their own spiritual practices. Part of my vision for White Rock Presbyterian Church also is to be a place for community connection. We're already doing that with the parking lot sales. There's already some conversation about when we can do that again this year. We've done it for 2 years now, as you know. I've talked with people around, people responsible for LA Cares, whether we might have some sort of collection box or place for things for LA Cares. At the United Church, I had started a collection of hotel toiletries, because most of us, when we go to on a trip, take our own toiletries and don't necessarily need to crack open those little bottles. And so I invited people to start bringing them home, and they travel a lot, those United Church people. And some people here do also. But to collect those toiletries, and then they collect them and they still bring them to me to take to the Interfaith Community Shelter in Santa Fe, a homeless shelter in Santa Fe. And every time I take bags full and they say, thank you so much. And I thought we could become not only a collection place for our congregation, but we could somehow let the neighbors know, bring your little shampoos and soaps and other things. People, around Los Alamos, the Nazarene Church now has, there are a couple, or at least one in Los Alamos, the little free food pantry, the library, the Nazarene Church, but there's just one. Maybe we could have something like that, or a little free library. I think there are a lot of ways that we, as a small congregation, but we can become something to the community, more than we already are. So what does this have to do with Abraham and Sarah? Who are we? How are we seen in the neighborhood? How do we see ourselves? How does God see us? What is God calling us to? What is God inviting us to? What might God be seeing here within us, among us, around us, that we are not quite yet seeing ourselves? And like Abraham and Sarah, first we have to listen. We have to listen. We have to hear God's voice. We have to hear God's promise to us and God's vision. Because that's what Abraham, it was 25 years before, roughly, maybe, 25 years or so before this today's story, that God first said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. Your descendants will number more than the stars in the sky. Abraham was 75 years old. Sarah was 74 or 5 years old. And God is just then at that point in their lives saying, you will have so many offspring, they will be more than the number of stars in the sky. And if that was already hard to believe, fast forward 25 years, it hasn't happened yet. And, you know, they've taken things, Sarah took things into her own hands, but God has continued to make that promise to Abraham. I'm going to do this for you. I am going to do this for you. And for years and years and years, they didn't see it. So, but first they had to listen. And then they had to believe. And there were times when they didn't, but they had to believe. And, you know, when God repeated the promise in this passage that we read, what was Sarah's response? Yeah, right. I am an old lady. My husband is an old man. That is not going to happen. And God said, why did you laugh? Why did she laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. And I love the line. The Lord said, yes, you did laugh. So you have to believe even when the timing doesn't seem like it's going to happen. The timing doesn't seem like God has forgotten. The time it makes it seem like God has forgotten. Or it's not going to happen the way I think it's going to happen. It's not going to look like the way I think it needs to look. So it must be it's not going to happen. And God says, no, it is going to happen. And this is not just with regard to White Rock Presbyterian Church, of course, but in our own lives and in the world. And so I want to invite you to think about, as you can see, there are a number of prayer requests, and some of those situations we are all very familiar with. But I invite you to think about a situation in either in your own life or in the world around us where you have some sort of deep longing, because we know for sure that Sarah, in particular, and probably Abraham, had a deep, deep longing for children. That was understood in their culture. That was a sign. They understood it to be a sign of God's blessing. That was how your family would carry on. And so we can easily imagine that Sarah and Abraham had a deep longing for children, but it hadn't happened. So I want to invite you to think about where is a place where you have deep longing in your life for healing of some sort, or reconciliation, or for peace, for abundance. Think of a situation. And I invite you, whether now or some other time, to acknowledge that before God. Be honest about that. One of my deep longings is that this congregation, this community of faith, would become not even necessarily bursting at the seams on Sunday mornings, but a place for the community where they say, oh, I know that I can go to that church, to that community of faith, and I have access to things. I can have a sense of connection. I can have a sense of the presence of the divine in some way that makes sense to me. That's part of my longing for this church. And I think that sometimes our deep, deep longings do come from God. Not always. I mean, if I have a longing to be a billionaire, maybe that's not God-given. But I think some of our deep, from within our hearts, longings are God-given. And so I invite you to pay attention to that. Offer that to God, acknowledge that to God, and then listen and see what might God be saying to you about that longing. What might God be saying to you? What promises might God make to you about that situation, whether it's now when we think we want it and how we think we want it, but in some way, maybe God is saying, trust me with that. I will do that for you, but you have to trust me and you have to listen. And then can we see what's not yet seen? If we think about what God might be promising, how might God be dealing with that longing that we have? What is it that we can't quite see yet? And can we believe that in all that we can't see, is God at work? How is God at work? God is at work. How is God at work? And can we live as if it's true, as if it will happen? Maybe it won't even happen in my lifetime, whatever it is that I'm thinking about. Maybe it won't happen in my lifetime, but God has promised. God said to Abraham and Sarah, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Can we live as if nothing is too wonderful for the Lord? Amen.